Well, good morning again. If you'd like to turn your Bibles to the third chapter of the book of Acts, we will pick up there on the first verse momentarily. We were just singing. I love the songs that we sing. Whether they're old ones or new ones, they speak the truth of God. They speak the truth of Scripture. Occasionally something kind of pricks my ear a little bit, and when that one line, and I don't mean to be picky, but it says, I sing with the glittering crown on my brow. I think they got that one just a little wrong. Yeah, in Revelation, it says that the 24 elders had the glittering crowns of gold on their head, but when they came before Christ, they removed their crowns. The band Casting Crowns, that title comes from, that they in front of Jesus, the stuff that we've done, the stuff that we've earned, our accolades are but filthy rags. You know, you've heard me say before, if you think heaven is cool because the streets are gold, you're looking at it from the wrong way. You know, what we walk on, what we think is most precious here is what we walk on in heaven. What we have to wipe off our feet before we go in the house. You know, we think the gold is this the most wonderful thing here, but in heaven it's just what you walk on. You think back to the first century and Jesus, you know, wiping that dust off your feet, and even now in the Middle East you don't sit in such a way that you show the bottom of your foot to someone else because that's seen as disrespectful. Or the servant was the one who washed the feet. Well, that's the place of gold in heaven. The thing that we treasure the most here is it's just dirt. Yeah, it's just what you walk on. And so when we come before Jesus, I don't think we'll be able to restrain our praises before Jesus. And I think anything that we look at ourselves that has any ego in it will come falling off when we kneel before our Savior. Amen. Father God, I echo my brother Randy's words, Lord, that we ask to hear your word this morning with all the power and might of your Holy Spirit. Grant it, Lord, that I would not get in the way of your word going out and fulfilling that which you've called it to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read a rather long passage here, starting with verse 1 in chapter 3 of the book of Acts. And as we read through this, kind of pay attention to a couple different sets of characters that are in this story. Look at Peter and John. Pay attention to the beggar who is there by the gate. Think about those who are looking on at what is taking place here. And then think about Jesus and his role in this story. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, and as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to see them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith, in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing in him, as you can all see. I think of Peter and John, and Peter does the talking here, not completely surprising. Just weeks and days after his denial of Christ, this same man who said, "I don't even know him. Why are you talking at me?" This same Peter, now boldly proclaiming the name of Christ in the face of those who had Christ put to death. This is not the first time he's done this. He did it. We read that in Acts chapter 2, and now we see it here. And this shows something. It is not Peter's bravery. It's not Peter's courage. It's not Peter at all. It's the Holy Spirit that has moved in to Peter, that emboldens and encourages him and allows him to speak this way, to speak the truth in the face of those who need to hear it. And I think of this man, this beggar. I was thinking of the word "put" this morning. He was at the gate where they put him every day to beg. What was it like when you got up this morning? What did you do when you first woke up? Stretched a little and got out of bed. Maybe went and started the coffee. Maybe looked outside. Maybe you walked out and got the paper. Can you imagine waking up in the exact same place and the exact same position where you had been put the night before? Put like where you put a lamp or where you put a book. Imagine waking up in that same place and then just staying there until someone comes and puts you somewhere else. This man had accepted this lot and accepted this role, but imagine the heart. Imagine the... I don't like the term, but self-esteem. To just be where you're put. And this is where he was. He was where he was put. Put by this gate at the temple. Why there? Because people were coming to worship. People were coming to express their love for God. That's what we do when we come together to worship. When we come to pray. When we come together as people come to the temple, and it's difficult. It's difficult to be in a moment where you're expressing your love for God and not express love for your fellow man. So this was a good place to be for one who was looking to receive. You know, one of the functions of church steeples was to be an obvious place in town that people could find the church to go for help. You think of small towns. And in the days before, big buildings and skyscrapers and all that. Think of small towns, but that church steeple, it could be seen as you were approaching the town, and people who came and were looking for help could know to find it, as they should be able to come to the church and find help in all sorts of ways. And so this man was put there. And we don't know anything about the people who put him there. We'd like to think that they would have offered him some other kind of help, but maybe this was the best that they could do. Maybe they didn't have enough on their own to support him. But faithfully, they daily brought him to the temple. At 3 in the afternoon, it tells us. Because at 9 and at noon and at 3 were hours of prayer when people would come to the temple and gather to pray. So now we have, remember last week we talked about an intersecting of lives. We have this intersection here that's about ready to take place. And he comes to look at Peter and John and ask them for money. They don't have any money. And Peter says, basically, got nothing. Got no silver or gold. I don't have any. I don't have any money. But what I have, I give to you. And what he had to give, what they had to give, was much more than a few coins. In that brief moment, I imagine the man was disappointed. What nonsense is this? But in just a moment, he was going to have something that he would not trade all the money in the world for. Peter and John gave him Jesus. They gave him Jesus. Now, he was healed, and he was able to stand up and walk. But what does it say later when Peter's addressing those looking on? Through faith in Jesus Christ, he was able to stand up and walk. Yes, his standing up and walking was a wonderful thing, but that was a momentary thing that was going to last the rest of that man's life and then be done. But he now had Jesus, which will last for an eternity. And when it comes to helping people out, we must not forget the importance of offering them Jesus. Jesus himself set a priority in that story where he's teaching in the house and the four friends bring their friend along who's paralytic and they can't get through the door, so they cut a hole in the roof and they lower him down, right? You remember this story? And what does Jesus say to him first? My son, your sins are forgiven. He offers him eternity first. And then when there's some murmuring in the crowd, he says, well, just to show you what authority I have, stand up and walk. And don't get me wrong, that healing was a tremendous, tremendous blessing. It changed this man's life. In that day and age, someone who was in his position could do no more than to be put somewhere where hopefully people would take pity on him and give them a few coins out of their own to allow him to have someone go and purchase some food for him and then maybe feed him. And so the fact that he could get up and move, this was a tremendous change. And we don't want to overlook that. It was a tremendous change in his life. But it was less than the greatest gift he received. They gave him Jesus. They gave him Jesus. They gave him the love of Christ. And through the love of Christ, he was healed. But they gave him an eternity that he didn't have before. And the people that looked on were amazed. They probably thought that Peter and John were some kind of magicians. And Peter very quickly corrects him and said, this has nothing to do with me. This has to do with Jesus. This has to do with Jesus. And he explains who Jesus was and who he is. When we analyze this story and try to apply it to our own lives, I think we can see that we are people of some means and we are able to help other people. As a church, we reach out to others and help. I know many individuals reach out and we help other people. We do have the ability to help others financially. But we must remember that it pales in comparison to what we really have to offer. So if you were to come upon a situation like this and be approached by someone in this circumstance, I don't know if healing would take place. It might. It might. God freely gives spiritual gifts to those who come to Him and are obedient to Him. God has given you spiritual gifts. And one day we'll talk about discerning what those are and how those things should be manifested in our lives. But God has given us in order that we may give to others. And it may be different, or it is different for each of us. But what I know that each of us have to give is the love of Christ. When we look down, when someone is in need, and when we look down to see what we have to give, when we check our wallets or our checkbooks or whatever else, we might be able to offer them something in that way. But let us not forget to offer them Jesus. You have that. If you've accepted Christ, you have Jesus, and you have Jesus to offer others. That is the compelling part of this story, not just the healing. The healing was evidence of something. The healing got the attention of the crowd. God used that healing in order that the Son might be glorified in what took place there. But Jesus can be glorified in your life intersecting with anyone else's. It may not manifest itself in healing, but it will be manifested in something that will glorify God if we are obedient to what God's calling us to. If we do not fear those moments when the Holy Spirit is calling us to someone else, and we know that we have what they need. You see, this man, what did he think he wanted? Money. He wasn't even thinking about getting up and walking. He just wanted some money. That was what he thought his primary need was. That wasn't his primary need. His primary need was Jesus. He didn't know it. But what we know is if anyone doesn't have Jesus, that is their primary need. That is what they need more than anything. And I'm not putting aside the fact that we need to help people. James tells us that the religion God sees as pure is that which helps the widows and the orphans. We are told not to tell people, be warm and well fed, without interacting with their lives to help them. That is vital. We are called into acts of kindness in the name of Jesus. But we can't stop short with just offering them material help. For if we do, we are really shortchanging them. If we give to them without giving them Jesus, we are just feeding them for a moment. We are just warming them for a moment. We are just helping them up for a moment and leaving their eternity to wander. When we have what they need, we have to know that that's what they need. We have to establish with them that that's what they need. Then we have to offer it to them. And we can't fear that moment. The Holy Spirit is calling you to speak to someone. He will give you the words to say. As Jesus told his followers, it won't be you speaking, it will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. So if he calls you into those moments, yes, you might use a material thing to help in the moment. Please do. But don't do it without offering Jesus. Do it that Christ may be glorified. Do it that the person might come into the kingdom. We've talked a lot lately about evangelism and discipleship. And part of the discipleship that we're doing here is to enable one another. We talked about it a little bit last night, that we want to help you learn how to share your faith with someone else. But it is something you can learn to do. It is something you're called to do. It's something you're expected to do. It's something you have a responsibility to do. Jesus said, go and make disciples. While you're going, wherever you're going, sure, Help someone in any way that you can. Help someone in their need. But don't stop short of offering them Jesus. Never stop short of offering Jesus. Amen.